And it is a blessing indeed to be able to come here on Wednesday night and sing about the Savior. Brethren, I tell you something, more and more, I mean, and it's good we don't find out a whole lot about these kind of things because it would just discourage and depress you. But more and more, I'm telling you, this world is showing what they think of God, His Word, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This really are. More and more. And we know it's going to happen. We know what it ultimately leads to. But we don't have to let it, affect us in the sense of sometimes you can't help the things you hear about, of course. But it just needs to be, brethren, as it comes across your path. Don't let it take your joy from you. And it's a blessing to be able to come together and be able to sing about the Savior, lift up our voices to Him. We can finish up right for the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 24 tonight, Psalm 24. And again, to kind of set the context, we'll look at verse 1 again. Psalm 24, verse 1, Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now tonight, verse 3 and 4, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Father, thank You for Your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. Father, we ask this according to Thy will. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, so notice David asked this question in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? All right, we got to define then what the hill of the Lord is. And we're going to find out that the hill of the Lord is really two places. It's a place that's on earth and it's a place that's in heaven. The hill of the Lord. This speaks of Mount Zion. Both earthly Mount Zion and heavenly Mount Zion. Just as there is an earthly and a heavenly Jerusalem, so is there with Zion. Go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. All right? And if you go on to read in Psalm 2, it's about the millennial kingdom, about the Lord returning. Zion is over there in Jerusalem. All right? But there's also a heavenly Mount Zion. Go to Psalm 15. Psalm 15 asks kind of the same question. Lord, who shall abide in Thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in Thy holy hill? Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So there's earthly Mount Zion over there around Jerusalem. All right, with the city of David. But there's a heavenly Mount Zion also. Go to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Psalm 48. And look here at verse number 2. Psalm 48, verse 2. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Okay. Now again, there's an earthly Mount Zion, there's an earthly Jerusalem, but there's a heavenly Mount Zion, a heavenly Jerusalem. And notice it speaks of the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Well, go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. That's what the devil wants to get up to. Isaiah 14. When he realizes that there's no chance in getting that one, he's going to settle himself for that one over there in the land of Israel. Isaiah 14, there's a battle that's going to take place. We see that in Revelation chapter 12. The devil will be cast down to the earth. Isaiah 14 speaks, I believe, completely in a future reference of something that's going to take place. He's not going to get that one. So when he's cast down here to this earth, he's going to try for that one that sits over there. And that'll be taken away too. But Isaiah 14, look at verse 13. Or verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. All right, so again, a heavenly Mount Zion, an earthly Mount Zion. So when David says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He is speaking in a spiritual, metaphorical sense as far as earthly Mount Zion, and speaking at the same time of heavenly Mount Zion. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Because here's something that's kind of interesting. Deuteronomy 4, and look at verse 48. Deuteronomy 4, verse 48. And from Aroer, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Zion, which is Hermon. All right, now this is interesting. All right, because listen, your Bible speaks of Mount Zion, which is in Jerusalem, the city of David. All right, your Bible speaks of heavenly Mount Zion, which is there in the sides of the north, out there in the universe. But then your Bible speaks of Mount Hermon as Mount Zion. And I think this is the only time it speaks of Mount Hermon as Mount Zion. And but the thing of it is, Mount Zion is over in Jerusalem. Then you got heavenly Mount Zion. But here's a case where Mount Hermon is referred to as Mount Zion. And you know what this reveals to us? This reveals that Mount Hermon, this shows us that Mount Hermon is a type of heavenly Mount Zion. Okay? It's a type of it. In fact, hold on just a second. Hold on 1 second here. Let me get this. 1 second. See, we can do this kind of thing. I can make a mess. We can do this kind of thing here. All right, look here. So here's a relief map of Israel, right? Okay. And what you've got, so here you've got, the land of Israel on a relief map. You've got Jerusalem, all right? But up here is Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon. And it mount, or they call it Hermon, Mount Hermon. And it marks the upper limits. And that thing just about has snow on it all the time. Okay? It's high. And it has snow on it. It's kind of cold up there. And you can, if you look it up online, you'll see pictures of it with snow and all like that. But notice, again, just real quick. Here's the Dead Sea, right? It's a type and it's a picture of hell, because everything is dead there. It's just nothing grows. It's just dead. Sodom and Gomorrah was around here. God rained fire and brimstone on it, and it's just dead. When Jesus comes back, living waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem, and people will fish again in the Dead Sea area, the Bible says. We know that. The Bible says that in the book of Ezekiel. All right. So this is a type, though. This is a type and a picture of hell, okay? But as you go up, see, it's just, look at that brown. It's just dead. As you go up, it starts getting more lush and more lush and more lush, right? Mount Hermon, in one place, at least in the Bible, is referred to as Mount Zion. It's a type of heavenly Mount Zion. It's cooler. It's got snow on it. It's toward up the regions of the north, okay? By the way, real quick, y'all have heard me mention this before, but there's one place here called En Gedi. David hid out there. It's an oasis. It's green. There's water. It's lush. It's beautiful. It's in the middle of all that deadness. This is a picture of heaven up here. It's a picture of hell down here. And you know what En Gedi over there is? It's a picture of paradise across from hell over there. The whole land of Israel is laid out to speak to us of spiritual things. But here's what I want you to get. Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Heavenly Mount Zion. But Mount Hermon is also called Zion, because it is a type of heavenly Mount Zion. Take your Bible, go to Song of Solomon 4. Song of Solomon 4. Song of Solomon 4. I tell you, you can't, brethren, you cannot get away from that Bible. You cannot get away from that Bible. That thing has everything pegged out. Did you know there's not a book There's not a movie, there's not a show that does not find its theme of something already given in the Word of God. And that's a fact. All the books, all the novels, all the stories, all the movies are just variations of themes already given you in the Word of God. That's a fact. Look here, Psalm 4, look at verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Now, by the way, Lebanon is up there near Mount Hermon, okay? Look from the top of Amana. Now, I've heard of Amana before. We'll talk about it in a minute. Look, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. So, notice that just a minute. Notice that. So here in the Song of Solomon, it mentions here, come with me, my spouse, from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar, and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. So notice now, Hermon is also called Zion. It's a type of heaven, sides of the north. Notice that Hermon is associated on that map, it's in the area of the north, snow, cold. Notice the word Amana. If you look up, you've heard of the word Amana, like Amana refrigeration, Amana deep freezes, cold. It comes from a German religious society called the Amana, and they bought out this guy back in the 1800s who was making deep freezes, and that's why it became known as the Amana Company. And they were associated with deep with cold. They were associated with cold, with equipment like that. So Hermon, Zion, North, snow, cold, Amana, freezers. And listen, I never was into Superman. All right? I wasn't. If you are, you need to get out of it. I'm just going to tell you. But I knew a few things about it. And I knew that, listen, Superman, all right, he had a place called the Fortress of Solitude in the north that was cold. Superman. You know what his dad's name was? Jor-El. You know what El means? God. You know what his name was? Superman's name was Kal-El. That's to do with God. You ain't getting away from this stuff. Think about it. Where do they get that stuff from? It's not an original. Somebody knows something, but in a wrong way. And by the way, you stay away from those comic books. You got them, you burn them. That stuff is soft porn. That stuff is soft porn, and probably hardcore porn today. I can just imagine. And that stuff gets into a realm that is dangerous. You understand? It's not a harmless little thing because you're starting into things that, listen, there are things they're tied in with. Somebody knows something. Notice also in Song of Solomon, from Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of leopards. Notice leopards associated with it. Well, what does your Bible say? The beast which I saw was like a what? Leopard. It's just unbelievable the things that tie in. The devil said, I will send to exalt my throne above the stars of God, the sides of the north. Lo and behold, Mr. Claus, where does he come from? From the north. The cold. Oh, ho, ho. And I mean, brethren, what I'm saying is you can't get away from that stuff. And somebody has some inspiration, but not from the right source. And somebody's constantly trying to imitate and take the glory from the Lord. But it's just strange, brethren. It's just strange. You can't deny the how this stuff is. And the only reason I brought this up is because David mentions the hill of the Lord. And so there's Mount Zion in Jerusalem. There's heavenly Mount Zion. But someone might point out to you that, wait a minute. The Bible says, calls Hermon Zion, right? Because it is a type also of heavenly Mount Zion. It's a region of the north. It's cold. There's snow there. I mean, those are things you just can't get around. Now, go back to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Now, I'll tell you this. When you're in the summertime in Charleston, a place where cold sounds pretty good. Look here, Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? To ascend, to go up. The Jews, look, you know what the Jews call that? Aliyah. Aliyah. All these Jews, if you got a Jewish family from Charleston that goes to live in Israel, you know what they just made? They made Aliyah. Anybody that goes back to Israel to live, you're making Aliyah. If you go visit Israel, especially Jerusalem, you made Aliyah. Okay? Notice in your Bible, even in the New Testament, notice in your Bible, you always go up to Jerusalem. You know who pointed that out to me? There was a Jewish rabbi who pointed that out to me, and it's true even in the New Testament. He said, you always go up to Jerusalem. And I started noticing, look, even in the New Testament, no matter where you are, you go up to Jerusalem. And when you leave, you go down. Because Jesus said, it's the city of the great king. And so you're ascending. You're going up whenever you go there. All right? Now listen. So it's to make Aliyah. In fact, in a synagogue, when you're invited to go up to the platform, they call in the Jewish synagogue, they call the Bema. When you're invited to go up, you're said to be making Aliyah. You're going up. You're ascending up to read the scripture. Okay, listen. So notice it says here, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? All right? To go up. Well, think about this, man. David asked an interesting question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now, anybody could physically ascend Mount Zion, the one over there in Israel. Now, they couldn't go into the temple. Not anybody could do that. But anybody could go up that mount. But who can spiritually ascend there? And who then can also ascend physically into heavenly Mount Zion? Well, look what he tells us. Verse number, or the next part. Or who shall stand in his holy place? So first he's asking, who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? Well, anybody could go up to that hill. So he's got to be asking who can do it spiritually. And if referring to heavenly Mount Zion, okay, well, who can ascend into there? Then he says, who shall stand in his holy place? That's the tabernacle. In David's day, it was the tabernacle. Later on, the temple. Heavenly Mount Zion. So who was able to do that, y'all? Who was able to stand in the tabernacle? The priests. The priests. Go to Psalm 134. Psalm 134. Psalm 134. Psalm 134, verse 1. Psalm 134, verse 1. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Why did they stand by night in the house of the Lord? Well, sometimes, look, there was singing that went on at times. There were certain ones assigned by David to sing there. Levites, they would stand there, they would sing. So they had position there. All right? Go to Hebrews 10. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Who shall stand in his holy place? Hebrews 10, 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. All right. Who was able to stand in the house of the Lord? A priest. Well, you know what? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9, we're priests. 1 Peter 2, 5, we are priests. We are believer priests. Where if you're born again, you are now able to offer up spiritual sacrifice and service to God. With that in mind, go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And since we're saved, we are there in heaven with Christ. In the spiritual sense. Ephesians 2 verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath made us sit together. And has raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So who's able to ascend that holy hill? Who's able to stand in the house of the Lord? Priest. The priest. Okay. As far as heavenly Mount Zion. Who's able to do that? A priest. A born again believer. We are there in Christ. But now, look what it says next. Look what David says next in Psalm 24. He says, he goes a little further with it, though, and saying, not just, so David's got to be referring to something different. Because a priest could go in there, but David says in verse 4, he that hath clean hands. Who shall ascend and who shall stand? He that hath clean hands. Now, brethren, there were priests that no doubt, were sometimes impure, all right, with some things, but God knew their heart. But you know what? They had to take and cleanse before they went in there. They had to wash their hands and they had to wash their feet before they could go in there. All right? Listen, if you want to ascend, and listen to me just real quick. You say, wait a minute, Brother Doss, well, who of us ever has really clean hands? We don't. But Christ did. I'm able to ascend there in Him. You understand? He has the clean hands. I don't. His hands never did anything unclean and wrong. Never. Brethren, nobody wants others to know what all their hands have done sometime in their life. That's a fact. His hands were pure. So, listen, he has the clean hands, and I have them in Him. Now, as far as my fellowship, let's look at it as far as fellowship, though. I need clean hands. If I'm going to fellowship in His tabernacle, if I'm going to fellowship with Him, I need clean hands in fellowship. Go to James 4. In fact, watch how it's worded here. James 4. Are your hands clean tonight? Your hands clean. Yo, clean hands. I'm not talking about being OCD with the thing, you know. But you need clean hands to keep from getting something. You need clean hands from getting disease and everything. You know, listen, when other people in Europe were dying, when they were dying, and the Jews were living in some of the plagues, guess what they found out? A lot of people in Europe washed their hands in a basin of water. All the germs stay in it. The Jews, according to the Bible, were washing over running water. Carries the stuff away. Carries it away. The priest, he had to wash his hands. He had to wash his feet before he went and did service. Brethren, he had to do that every day. I know you get tired of it. I get tired of it. But until Christ calls us home, we have to daily wash our hands and feet. Daily we defile. We get our hands and feet dirty. That's why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So he that is clean is not saved to wash his feet. But he that is washed is not saved to wash his feet as clean every whit. We got to wash our feet. Got to wash our hands daily. Or you know what? We're not going to be fit for service. Look here. James chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Let me ask you something. If you're feeling distance from God, who moved? I mean, I'm serious. If you're feeling distant from God, who moved? If you've ever once known Him, if you've ever once had communion with Him, He didn't move. Notice the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. You know what? We always want God to do it. We won't do it to our part. The Bible says, draw nigh to God. I don't feel close to God. Well, when's the last time you've read your Bible? I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But come on. I just feel far from God. When have you read your Bible? I feel distant from God. When's the last time you got still and prayed? And just said, dear God, Lord, and waited on Him a minute and just paused. When's the last time? No wonder. You are going to be distant from Him. He ain't moved. Look here. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Look. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. There you go. Listen, do you need to wash your hands? Is there some uncleanness that maybe only you and God know about? Wash your hands. His blood avails. As you go to the Scripture, there will be areas you see that you need cleansing from. Man, stay cleansed before it. Purify your heart. Listen, if you're double-minded, if you're just, you know, man, get back single-hearted, single-minded on this thing. Listen, he that hath clean hands. Are your hands clean? That priest had to wash him every day. And so do we. But you know what? We can get so busy. Listen, if that priest, y'all listen. If that priest got so busy he didn't wash his hands, he could die. If he was unclean, he went in there, he could die. Y'all, come on. I'm saying, brother, if we're so busy, we ain't got time to wash our hands and feet. Spiritually speaking, then we need to slow it down. We need to slow it down. Look here, take your Bible. Take your Bible, go to Job 17. Job 17. Listen, one of the problems of the day and hour you and live in. It's hard because life pushes you today like no other. Like no other. Brother, it is a more intense time today than it's ever been. It is. Because did not the Bible say in the latter days, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased? I mean, brethren, it's just nonstop. And what we're going to do, man, we are on this merry-go-round and there ain't no getting off, man, till the Lord's coming. We're on it. And man, we can't help it, but you know, there's somebody else that's pushing the speed of this thing. And you ain't going to slow it down to Grandpa's day. You know what I'm saying? You are not going to slow it down to great-grandpa's day because most of us ain't got the money to do that. Most of us ain't got the money to go that far back to slow it down that much. I'm telling you. It's just, you know what? It is what it is. And here it is. Is it good? Not really. Not really. But here we are. So you know what we got to do? We got to grab hold. You ain't gonna throw a wrench into the gears and stop it, man. This thing's going. It's going. And you're on it, just you gotta survive, you're part of it. It's just the way it is. I mean, it just really is. But even in that, what you and I've got to do is say, Lord, here it is. So, all right, look. What you and I can do is don't complicate it more than it needs to be. But some things we'll have to, some of us can't help. Great goodness, man. It's, you know, she had those appointments this week. And you had to go, you know, those tests and everything, get the biopsy done. And, you know, and so we're down there doing all that. And, man, life, it can be, you know, I thought we left in plenty of time. We left an hour and a half early. Hour and a half. To get to Mount Pleasant, to MUSC Imaging, right? Hour and a half, and we're pushing. I had her, she had a call saying we might be late. And we got there, right, and it's like, wow. What are you going to do? You saved. You can't cuss. You better not. I mean, you know. You know. So what are you going to do? You'll yell somebody driving down the road beside of you? It ain't their fault. They're probably just, you know. You want to? What are you going to do? You're like, I mean, it's just. There we are. You know? Ain't no fun. You know what? I'm in the road. Guess what I'm telling God? Lord, forgive me. I'm impatient. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Help me. I'm going down the road. I'm serious. I'm going down the road saying, Lord, help me. My attitude ain't right. Now, you know what? Nobody in another car could have seen that. And I don't think she even knew it. I knew it. And God knew it. You know, and I want to catch that thing before she does find out. And if I don't catch it, not only she will find out, everybody around me is going to find out. And then you get there, you know, and it's this and it's that, you know, and it's got, and you go, you know, and he's just like, and you just, well, I just want simplicity. That ain't happening. It's just the way it is. So, brethren, look here, I'm just going to say this. I'll say this now. Some of it, but we can't help. That's where we're at. We are in the day. Knowledge shall be increased and many shall run to and fro. But now listen, brother, we can take and we don't have to make it any more complicated than it has to be. Okay? We need to be careful about that. All right? Brethren, sometimes you need to weigh out and it's what you're getting ready to do that maybe sometime could be a relaxing thing. Is the ordeal of getting it together going to be more taxing than the respite you're going to get from it? Not every time is it like that, but sometimes, grab a hold of it. Wash your hands, brethren. Wash your hands. Wash your feet. Take your Bible. Look at Job 17, verse 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Isn't that something? You want some strength? Keep your hands clean. You want some strength? Keep your hands clean. That's what it says in James. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Look here. Cleanse your hands. Dirty hands will sap some. Listen, it'll spiritually sap you and the strength that you need to make it. Okay, so who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands. What does it say next? And a pure heart. And a pure heart. Wow. A pure heart. A pure. Isn't that something? Now look, look at what we're reading. Look at what we're reading in Psalms. And go back to James 4 one more time. Isn't that something? We're reading in Psalms, who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands. And James 4, verse 8 just said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Well, look what the next part says in James 4, verse 8. And purify your hearts. Well, I'll be. That's just what we just read in Psalm 24. Psalm 24 says, who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. Read that in James. He that, and a pure heart. Read that in James 2. How about that? So, cleanse your hands, you sin. Purify your hearts. So now listen, we know that ultimately, none of us have ever had totally clean hands, totally pure heart. Christ did. And so we have that in Him. But as far as our fellowship and our walk with God as believer priests, you want to stand in His house, you want to serve Him acceptably, cleanse your hands daily. Purify your hearts. How do you purify your heart? Look what it says there in James. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded. Look here. If you're double-minded, your heart's not going to be pure. The way to purify your heart is to not be double-minded. Get singleness of purpose. God first. God first. Listen. There can be some good things, but they can get in the way quickly of your walk with the Lord. And anything, no matter how good or right in its right place, that comes between you and God is wrong. Get things back in the right order. Thank God for a wife. Thank God for children. Thank God for a husband. Thank God for family. Thank God for a job. Thank God for a lot of good things. Listen, thank God for fellowship. You know what? A lot of times a meeting or a camp meeting or a meeting or anything can end up to becoming sometimes not a good thing. Because listen, you can get so busy you forget about God. You might say, well, how? Because you're all around the things of God. Well, you're around a lot of things, but what about your personal time with God? You got to have that. Listen, you can't be double-minded. Purify your heart. Listen, is anything starting to creep in and become more important to you than God? Are you trying to split God up with something? You're trying to divide time with God or divide God? You know, listen, the Lord knows you got other concerns. He knows that. He's the one who gives you husband, wife, children, jobs, things that are clean and right. And God allows those things with Him first. The way to purify your heart is to not be double-minded. A double-minded man's unsure in all his ways. He's not steady, he's not sure, he's not steadfast. Are you double-minded? Just kind of wavering like a ship of the sea. You have singleness of purpose. You got to find that out. You got to figure that out. You got to know. All right? Because listen, if you want to stand in the holy place, you know what I'm talking about, as a priest serving Him, offering acceptable service, hands got to be clean. Heart's got to be pure. And that means not being double-minded. What does it say next? Go quickly with me back to Psalm 24. Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands. So the book of James says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And a pure heart. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Look what it says next. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity? Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity? We'll go back to James 4 one more time. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Listen. The person that'll stand in His house will be the person that and serves him acceptably, what part of the criteria there? Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Vanity, empty, dead, false gods. Go to Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. Look at verse 19. Jeremiah 8, verse 19, "Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities?" Strange vanities. Go to Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14. Verse 22. "Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain?" Notice that in your Bible, false gods are called vanities. Why are they called vanities? Because they're nothing. They are empty. They can't do anything. They're dumb idols, the Bible speaks of them as. They're just pieces of rock or pieces of wood. They are vanities. They are empty. They are powerless. They can't do anything. Take your Bible to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. So who's the one that's going to stand in the house of the Lord, offer that acceptable service, ascend into His holy hill, clean hands, pure heart, who not lifted up his soul into vanity, vanities being false gods? Look at Psalm 25:1. "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." There you go. Psalm 24, see verse 4 says, "Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity." Well, who are you supposed to lift up your soul to? The Lord. The Lord. Go to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Verse 8. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee." So I want to ask you. So, and notice back in James 4, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall exalt you in due time." You know, look here. You lift up your soul to the Lord. You humble yourself and lift up your soul to the Lord. Cleanse your hands, purify your heart, and lift up your soul to the Lord. God or idols? Make up your mind. God or idols? Make up your mind. I don't have idols. All right, put it this way then. God or the world? Make up your mind. God or self? Make up your mind. God or vanity? God or anything getting in the way of the Lord? You make up your mind. You know, lifting something up is done in offering sacrifice and worship. They would lift up those wave offerings, lift up those heave offerings. They would lift them up. That's how you lift something up. Ask you something. Who or what do you lift up your soul unto? The Lord or the vanities of this life? That's an act of worship. That's an act of consecrated worship to lift up that. Who do you lift yourself up to for approval? For someone to smile upon you and get the nod from them. Whose approval do you say? Who do you lift yourself up to? Who do you lift yourself up to? The vanities of this world that can't do anything for you eternally? Who are you trying to please? God or the guy at work? Let me tell you something. You try to please God, you'll please that guy at work if he can be pleased in the right way. You understand what I'm saying? Who you try to please? Husband, wife, somebody you want to get their attention, your boss, brother, sister in the Lord. I mean, really, who? You try to please the Lord and lift up your soul unto Him, and all those other parties will be in the right spot. There'll be no problem there. None whatsoever. Lift up your soul unto Him. What are you lifting your soul up unto? What are you taking and exalting and placing importance upon? Who's first? Who's first? Look here. What's the other thing it says in Psalm 24? Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity? nor sworn deceitfully. Nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, his word is good. He doesn't practice deceit and fraud. Go to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Look at verse 1 again. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth him that fear the Lord. Look at this part. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Brethren, well, there's one, ain't it? You give your word, you back it up. Even when it hurts you. Even to put you on the raw end of the thing. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. You understand? Y'all remember that. Let me tell you something. God is so good and merciful. I probably mentioned before about that my cursed Ford. My cursed Ford. What kind of car was that? It was Ford. Ford Escort wagon. Yep. Ford. It was cursed.
That's why.
What's that?
That's why.
Was it? Why? Because it was a Ford. Hey, here's what happened. I was young. I'd already had one car. And we paid it off. But it was starting to have some problems. And I think, I don't know if we had any youngins yet or not. I think we did. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. And so I was back in Mount Airy. He's going to look for a car. And I went to go deal with this fella, right? And told him I was going to deal with him. Told him I was going to deal with him. So I'll deal with you about this. Well, I went home and my daddy chewed me up one side and down the other. He just felt like I was that I should have gone with somebody else. And he chewed me up one side and down the other. And really, it really got to me there. Really got to me. And it was just a bad situation. And I went and dealt with that man my dad wanted me to, right? Listen to me. And I went back to her house. Everybody was upstairs, and I went down to the living room. I think we did have Ben at that time. I went to the living room of her parents' house. And God, I think I there was nobody around in there, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I did wrong. I told that man I was going to deal with him, and I should have done it. It didn't matter that my dad got on my case. It didn't matter. Lord, I should have done this. And I confessed that thing to God, but there was nothing to do about it now. You don't want to scramble eggs. And I just swallowed hard and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And God was merciful. That car was cursed for 4 years. Oh, hey, don't get me wrong. I do believe the Lord. It was brand new. I believe the Lord. I do. In His mercy. But it was non-stop trouble. It leaked. I think it leaked till the day. There was non-stop trouble with that car. Now, do you think I don't think I ever got an attitude about it. What? I deserve worse. God would have been just and right to have allowed anything. I did wrong. You understand? I did wrong. My God's good and merciful. And He was. Oh, He let me taste it. He let me taste it and remind me every now and then. You know what I'm saying? But He could have gotten a lot worse. I was thankful. But look here. But the thing of it is, I had to tell the Lord what He knew. What was I going to do? Brethren, I knew there wasn't no way I was going to be able to pick up my Bible. There was no way I was going to be able to take, because I knew I had done right. Let me tell you something. If I was younger, but I went under my daddy's house no more. I let myself be influenced by him. I respected him. But that should have been a point where the line was drawn in the sand saying, Daddy, I love you, but I told the man that. That's how we're doing it. It's a serious thing. Sometimes you're going to make a bad call. You made it. Ask God for mercy. Buck up. Here we go. You understand? Young folks, remember that. man, I went and I bought this thing. I told him I'm going to buy it. Okay, you done it. Look to God. Ask him to help you remember this and use better judgment next time. And stick in there. Let me tell you something. You'll come out better. You'll come out better with sticking to that and keeping your word than trying to get a better deal. Do you understand that? You understand me? You will come out better by sticking by your word than trying to say, okay, you know what, but this is a better deal. I can't help it. I'll just be better. No, you won't. God's liable to touch that thing and curse it. I'm just telling you. Don't you remember in the Bible about that one time one of the kings of Judah hired some of the men of Israel? And the man of God came to the king of Judah and said, why are you hiring them? They don't love God. He said, I done give them a bunch of money. He said, don't worry about that. God's able to give you more than that. Don't use them. So he done paid them, but he said, y'all got to go. Y'all got to go. But he told him an interesting thing. He said, look, okay, yeah, you paid them, but God's able to do you better than that. God's able to take care. Y'all look here. Young folks, especially, y'all youngins, you just want to hit you one time. You're going to sometimes make a call. You're going to make a call sometime that maybe was not the best call to make. Or maybe you give your, and you're like, oh, man. Carry through with it. Carry through with it. God can bless that. God can use that. Say, Brother Dawes, what would I do if I didn't? Tell God you sin. Tell God you sinned. Tell God you didn't do right. Accept His mercy in Jesus Christ. And then ask Him to have mercy and help you through the thing. And let me tell you some older saints in here. If one of your young'uns comes to you and says, hey, I told him I'd do this. Well, son, you've got to do that. Don't be saying, no, I think you just need to do this. Because in your mind, dollar signs are going off, but there's something more important. It's character and holiness and upholding what's right. And you remember that. You don't look at things by dollar signs. You look at things by right. Don't you ever forget that. And look here, when your young'uns come to you for advice, sometimes you'll tear your heart out because you realize, man, that was not a good deal you made there. But say, son, just learn from it. Just learn from it. You'll be better for it. Life goes on. You know what? Her daddy told her and me something one time. I forgot what it was. It was some purchase we made, and we realized early when we got married, and it was a bonehead deal. You know, it was me, not her, of course. But you know what her daddy told us? He said, well, I'll tell you what. If that's the biggest financial mistake y'all make in your marriage, you'll be doing pretty good. You remember that? And I thought, boy, that's pretty good. Because what he was saying was, look, them things happen. And you know what? You come through it. You come through it. That's one thing. Now look, I sure ain't sitting here trying to look at this thing as pretending I'm some big sage who's gone through life now and just. But I will tell you this: standing from this view and looking back, I'm going to tell you right now: if you'll go on for God, you'll weather the storm. Amen. A lot of them things that seem so, God just helps. Just do right. Just do right. And Lord's mercy and His grace and His goodness, and He just, and a lot of them things that like was just mountains. You look back and like, you know what? And God just sees through all that. Now I'm serious. So y'all look here. One of those who's going to stand in that holy hill, who's going to be stand in his tabernacle. Well, he's just, that doesn't swear deceitfully. Which keeps His word. Even to his own hurt, and doesn't change. The man that'll put right, God, and character above that. That thing right there. Psh! Psh! What's that? Huh? What matters? what matters. And God sees where we weigh things out and where we put the emphasis. He takes it into account. Huh? And get across to these young'uns what matters. Yeah, you know what? Y'all going to hit some time sometimes. I hope you don't, but probably you will. And there'll be a bonehead one now too. The decision sometimes made. And you know what? Your mom and daddy will probably wish they could make it right for you. And they'll try to help you out. Sometimes they can't. And you know what? Sometimes they'll probably say, well, just you have to suck it up on that thing. You're just going to have to suck it up. I'm just going to have to do right. And it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And you'll be thinking,
I work so hard for my money. I don't make a lot as it is. And there it goes.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. You will. Folks ain't going to let you starve. There will be bread and water for you. Ben ain't smiling. I'm just telling y'all. Youngins, please. Get off a good foot and a good start. You're going to sometimes make some bad calls on some things. Keep your word. Keep your word. Stand in there. Talk to God. Be honest. He'll see you through. Go back to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Now again, you know that ultimately, who can? Who has clean hands? Who has a pure heart? None of us, but Christ does. So we're able to ascend. We're able to be there in Him. But as far as fellowship, as far as a priest offering service, who can? I mean, we're priests, but even though a man was a priest, he better wash his hands. He better do right. Okay, we're priests. You want to offer that service? You want to go in there and offer those that? You want to go in His presence with effectual prayer? What, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. See, look here. The devil tries to beat you in your thoughts to tell you your prayers ain't effective. Well, he's lying to you. You know what really will affect your prayers? Not blatant sin. Let me ask you something, just to give you help a little discernment here. A little discernment. You ever got down, Casey, you ever got down to pray and have you felt the enemy telling you, what's the use of you praying? Okay. But, Casey, that's just him plaguing your head. Now, Casey, I'm going to get personal here. Casey, have there ever been a time maybe so far that maybe, just maybe, you was a little short with Mariah? Okay. That's a good man. That's a good man. Who can blame it? No, I'm just being honest. All right, so look here. Now, Casey, you know what? When you tried to go pray, you knew something was wrong, didn't you? No confusion, was it, Casey? Wasn't this thing kind of hanging around, taunting you? You knew I didn't act right. All right, look here. And the book of Peter speaks about that. You know, your prayers will be hindered if you don't. You know, what I'm saying is, look, if there's something legitimate, it won't be this vague thing hanging there plaguing. You'll know what you need to do. You know you ain't done right. You need to cleanse your hands, make the thing right. And then you can go into the holy hill of Zion and you can perform service there in prayer as you intercede for others. You understand? But the devil's going to try to taunt you. You ignore that stuff. When it's known, when there's something genuinely wrong, you're going to know it. And you're going to know what you need to do. Take care of it. And get on in there and offer acceptable service and worship and sacrifice. Clean hands, pure heart. Don't lift up your soul to vanity. Lift it up to the Lord. Keep your word. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Father. Please help us with these things, dear God. Oh, Lord, that we might be faithful believer priests. Lord, that we might offer effectual and acceptable service, worship, and sacrifice unto you by Jesus Christ. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to take these things to heart. Lord, help us to realize Lord, that priest had to wash his hands, he had to wash his feet. Lord, and those things we have to do. And help us, Lord, to do so that we can offer that acceptable service unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name, Father, we do pray and ask this. Amen.